Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's so great to be with you this morning. We are so excited to have you here. We are grateful whether this is your first Sunday with us or if this is your spiritual home. We are so glad that you decided to be with us this Sunday morning. We are a church that is striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God, and we hope that something that we say or pray or sing will help draw you closer to God and Jesus Christ this morning. As we gather for worship, this is a very exciting Sunday. It's Confirmation Sunday, and we are excited to celebrate that with you. As we begin our worship service this morning, I want to turn your attention to those connection cards that we hope you were handed as you walked in the church this morning, and we encourage you to fill those out. Put your name, address, phone number, any information that you'd like us to have. We encourage you to fill those things out, and then you can put them in the offering plate later on in the service. In addition to that, if there's anything that we can be praying for you or a colleague or a friend or a neighbor or a loved one about, we encourage you to take those yellow prayer cards and fill those out as well. We would be honored to have you to fill those out so that we can be praying alongside you. As we worship together this morning, I just wanted to share that Allison, our director of children and student ministries, is going to be preaching the message this morning, unfortunately, and we encourage you to keep her in your prayers as well. She tested positive for COVID just a couple of days ago, and so unfortunately, she won't be able to be here with us, and just wanted to let you know that she will be preaching the sermon this morning from video, so we encourage you to keep Allison and her family in your prayers as they make their way through COVID in the next week here. So with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in singing our opening hymn as we celebrate God's goodness this morning.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, thank you for becoming human. Who can imagine that God, the truth, eternal life, became man? The people who witnessed your life saw their physical eyes. They felt you with their actual hands. You weren't a vision or a dream, but the real God that came to bring joy and life to us. And you called to them as you invite us now, come follow me. We ask that we may see you at work in our world, in our church, and in our lives. May we join in proclaiming how real you are and the joy you bring. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one, who is life itself, was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. And good morning, confirmation students. I am so disappointed that I can't be there today with you, but I'm very grateful for technology that makes this possible. And I just want to say I am so proud of all of you, and congratulations on being confirmed today. And we'll have to hang out and party another day and, save a cupcake for me, maybe. So, let's imagine together that after the service today, someone comes up to you and they say, "Hi, I'm new here, I'm new to Brighton, and in fact, I'm new to your whole country." Maybe they have an accent and, you know, you can tell, oh yeah, this is someone who maybe who hasn't been here. And they say, "I'm new here, but the thing is, I heard there were some really good tacos. Could you help me find them?" What would your response be? I know for me, I would probably pull out my phone and go to the map app and, you know, maybe show them that way. Or maybe I would verbally tell them how to get there because we're really close to downtown and that's where I know some of the best tacos are, right? And, or otherwise I may write down a couple of directions. What about you? So do you think that my response would be a helpful one? What about yours for our new foreign friend? What if I told you that that person more than likely was actually hoping that I would draw over a couple more people to join us and take them myself to get the tacos, to actually walk with them to find the place? Is that interesting? Surprising? A little inconvenient, maybe? I might think, hey, look, I'm giving this person the gift of independence, right? I'll give them the directions and they can find it on their own. Well, 7 years ago, my family and I moved to live and work and learn and minister in Asia. We moved to a really big city with lots of people, think 12 million, and lots of things to figure out in order to make a life there. And one of those things was super practical, bedding, okay? So I had heard that there was a place I needed to get to called the Fabric Market. And in order to get there, I needed to know how. So I went to my language school teacher and I said, "Look, I need to have some bedding made for my family. How do I get to the fabric market?" So her response was that she pulled out her phone and instead of pulling up the map app though, or writing down the number of the buses that I would need to take, she was looking at her calendar and she was finding a day, one of her days off, I might add, when she could take me there herself. That's when I began to learn that it was customary in their culture to accompany you, especially if you were a foreigner or a guest in their country, that if you needed help getting somewhere, they would take you there themselves. My teacher's response was, I'll go along with you to show you how it's done. Turns out, it is a distinctly American thing to give directions to a foreigner in order for them to get somewhere on their own. You see, something that you need to understand is that I had the address of the fabric market. I had this little business card that had the name and the address of it on there. I couldn't pronounce it, but I had it. Yeah, my teacher was pretty dismissive of that little card. You see, it's not that it was the wrong destination. It's that she knew the best way for me to reach that place was for her to accompany me, for her to take me there herself and show me how it's done. I don't believe that we are intended to figure things out on our own, for ourselves, in this Christian faith. We are not left alone to figure this faith out. When Jesus began his public ministry, news of who he was had begun to spread thanks to his cousin, John the Baptist. So one day, some people like John and Andrew and Simon Peter, they walk up to Jesus and they ask him a question. They ask, "Where are you staying?" Now, this was a common greeting in their culture, loosely translated as, "So what are you up to?" And the response that Jesus gives is not to show them or to give them the address of his Airbnb. Surprising, I know. And it's not even to give them a list of the things that he's going to be teaching on that day. Instead, his response is three simple words: "Come and see." And later, a few minutes later, he added, "Follow me." So Jesus's response is not so much an answer as an invitation to participate and experience with him. And that is, in fact, the overall approach that Jesus took in the way that he revealed who God is and what God is like. Jesus walked around as a flesh and blood human being, but he said in John 14:9, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." You see, Jesus knew that the best way for the disciples to come to a place where they could understand what God was like was for him to take them there himself. So we're going to fast forward now from that time, about 50 plus years into the future. Jesus has died, resurrected, and he's left behind a whole bunch of followers. And there's been churches established. But a dangerous idea is beginning to grow in popularity. There's this idea that Jesus could not have possibly been fully human and fully divine. In fact, that Jesus was probably not a real flesh and blood person who experienced actual suffering or even actual death on the cross. And the problem with that, if his death wasn't real, his resurrection wasn't real either. And it stripped it of its power and its meaning for his followers. You see, this teaching taught that Jesus and God were in fact distant, detached ideas, good, lofty ideas, but detached from the human experience. And this is where we find our scripture passage that Ezra read for us. Thank you to Ezra. The beloved disciple, John, he has been following Jesus his entire life. He's probably in his 90s when he writes this letter. For him, Jesus has been a whole experience for him and for countless others. You see, Jesus has been more than a nice idea. And he's here to set the record straight. So how had Jesus been so real to John and others? Well, how do we experience anything in our lives? How do we notice things in our world? With our five senses, right? And that is how Jesus made God known to the disciples through tangible experiences, okay? They had tasted the bread and the fish that Jesus multiplied. They had seen his body and the scars of his resurrected body. They knew Jesus was real. So the passage that Ezra read, there are actually 11 different Greek words used to describe some sort of sensory experience that John and the disciples had, that they saw, they heard, they touched, they tasted. So he's testifying to the fact that Jesus did, in fact, live among them, and he had invited them to come and see, and that's what they had done. So what does this mean for us here today? Jesus isn't walking around, right? Can't go touch him and see him. But Jesus was real. And he did set a real example and showed us really what God is like. And the response to that for the disciples, for John, first of all, in this passage, he starts out by saying, "We proclaim to you all that we have seen and heard." To proclaim something is to tell it clearly. So today, I want us to think about, what does it mean to tell it clearly the things that we have seen and heard? Well, first off, we're so grateful for the first eyewitnesses to Jesus and how they recorded those things and they passed down that faith from generation to generation. And that leads to us here today, that we can be a part of that same faith that's based in the reality of a living, breathing Savior that walked this earth. But what about us? How have we seen and heard Jesus in our lives? I know for me, you know, I can still remember the words of a VBS volunteer in the basement of a small church who said to me, "You know, Jesus would love to hear you talk to him, to pray." And so I went home that night, I sat on my bed, and I prayed to God. I don't know if it was for the first time, but it was the first time that I expected that God was listening. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but I felt something. And I knew from that time forward that I was not alone. That changed my life. You know, after that point, I started going to church, and God bless my mom. She's willing to drive me every time the doors were open. Youth group, Sunday morning, Sunday night, missions dinners, you name it. And what I found there in that community were other followers of Jesus who had known and seen and heard and touched and tasted what this faith is all about. And they invited me into their lives to experience it for myself. You know, we went on mission trips, and I got to touch the hurting. I got to feed the hungry. I got to taste and see the goodness of God at work in this world. And I've had so many years since then of seeing God at work, of hearing, of tasting, of experiencing and feeling and knowing that God is real. He's revealed himself to me in such a real way. I've never been able to stop proclaiming about the goodness of God. Jesus shows what God is like, and we tell others for their joy. So again, I want you to think, how has God been revealed to you? You see, this is something that this church is excellent at. We invite people to come and to join us, to come and see how God is at work. We feed the hungry and serve the homeless and build houses for them. We do lots of things here where we invite people of all ages to join us and to say, come along with us. Come and see what Jesus is all about. That's the example that Jesus set, to invite people in to live this life together. And that's what we do here. And that brings us to our confirmants this morning. You see, they have seen and heard of God's goodness in their lives already. First, most of them from their parents, from their grandparents, from Sunday school teachers, from mentors in this church. And the faith that they've had from baptism, they are now confirming as teenagers. They are experiencing the living Christ for themselves. I encourage you, read the posters out in the community room where they wrote about their faith. You see, following Jesus' invitation to come and see, follow me, is a whole way of being and touching and tasting and hearing and being present in this life that opens our eyes to see God at work in all things. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." May that be true for each of us today. And may it be true for the students today as they confirm their faith and continue to walk with Christ in all things. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that this proclamation, this telling is not a one-time event, but a whole lifelong experience that you invite us into. You extend your hand afresh and anew every morning. You say, come, follow me. You whisper, come and see what I'm up to today. Won't you join me and make me real for the joy of this world? May it be so in our lives. Amen.
You ready? God is good. All the time. Amen. I want to call your attention to the four prayer quilts we have today. They're gorgeous, they're beautiful, and they are for Ava, Andra, Fred, and Colleen. So if you'd raise a hand and pray for them quilts with me. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these quilt recipients and give them strength and courage, patience and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on their family, friends, and the medical personnel helping them. May these prayer quilts be a constant reminder of God's love and hope, and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for them. Help us to be reminded that two things never die: peace and love. The prayers we say for others wrap them in peace and comfort them like a warm quilt. Prayers are tangible evidence of the love we share with them. Amen. Now, as you walk out of the church this morning, please tie a knot, say your own personal prayer for them, because you can't never get enough prayers. A couple of the other worship hosts, when they come up here, they always have stories to tell, but I usually don't. But today I was moved by the bell choir. These people got 3 and 4 bells. They got these little clunker things that they have to hit. They're turning pages. They got gloves on. Is this not an amazing bell choir or what? Let's hear it for the bell choir. All the different things that they're doing at the same time. I was walking down the street the other day. I had to spit out my gum. I fell down 3 times. I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. And they're all doing all that, and they're amazing. Now, if you go to a sense of prayer with me. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things that you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives as we continue to put COVID-19 behind us. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Just as Jesus asked those to follow him and become disciples, we know that we are called to spread your word and help make disciples of those in our lives, to help them live better lives, living by your word, with your teaching, and surrounded by your love. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, waiting. Not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they're headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step they take may be blessed by you into a life full of your blessings. We pray for those suffering from gun violence in Buffalo, wildfires in the Southwest, in Upper Michigan, those in Ukraine suffering with uncertainty, and those suffering in Russia, not knowing exactly what's happening. We pray for your love, guidance, and strength to help all people through these troubling times. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. We pray today for the confirmands that will come before the church today, that their lessons and classes that they've been through will help them on the next step to becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples left their families and their lives behind, they spent much time learning from Jesus. Just as our confirmands spent time learning from their teachers and mentors. But when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat that prayer he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Don't forget, God loves you, and there ain't anything you can do about it. Amen.
There are so many wonderful things to be grateful for in church this Sunday. We took a walk yesterday, and Pastor Lindsay found some lilacs that were blooming and just absolutely stunningly beautiful, one of those little signs of God's creation. You already heard one of the amazing blessings that we have in our church. Allison did a phenomenal job this morning, didn't she? It was so great to hear from her. Amen. Yeah. And we're grateful that at our 11 o'clock service, we'll be confirming 5 students, and then later on, at some point, at a future date, we'll confirm an additional student that we'll look forward to that doing that together. But I just want to lift up these names, because these names matter to us as they join our church and become a part of our church family. So we lift up this day being confirmed in this church, Lila, Evan, Marley, Ryan, and Brenna, who will be joining this church, who will be professing their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we give thanks for them, their families, and the entire journey that they have been on to get to this moment where they say yes to the family of God, and we welcome them with open arms. And so as we respond to God's goodness in our midst, there are so many ways that we can respond to all of the wonderful things that God is doing in our lives, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. So we invite the ushers to please come forward and assist us as we receive the gifts this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Dearest Lord, we are thankful every day for the gift of this body, your church. And as young people will be confirmed later today, we are thankful for the gift of the generations of Christians who have formed this community of faith. As we bring our financial gifts, let us also recommit ourselves to you and to the good work you have begun in all of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It's great to see all of your wonderful smiling faces. As we close out our worship service today, I just want to give a couple of brief announcements. First of all, if you are willing, if you're able, if you have any interest at all in technology, we would love to have some additional volunteers throughout the course of the summer to accommodate folks' travel plans, to accommodate differences in schedule. If you're able to press the space bar, or if you're able to move a camera to whoever is speaking up front, this job is for you. We would love to have you helping in the tech booth, in the back of the church. We really honestly could use some additional volunteers. If you're willing to do that, please stop by the tech booth as you head out the door. Secondly, I want to show you one of the most beautiful t-shirts I have ever seen in my life. These beautiful First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake t-shirts. They are available for sale at a table inside the community room. We would love to have you pick one up later on this summer. On July 16th, we're going to encourage as many folks as able to do a walk that starts at Brighton High School. We will gather over there wearing these blue Smurf shirts. If you would be willing to walk or run alongside us, we encourage you to do that. And the reason why we're doing it is to raise money for the Samaritan Counseling Center in our churches, to help people improve their own mental health. We hope that we are also improving our mental health as we walk together. There's a walking group that meets every Saturday at 3 o'clock right here at the church. Walk about a mile together, go back to Dairy Queen. Bruce Stark is leading that group. So if you would like to walk alongside us, we encourage you to do that. My daughter said something that I want to close with today, the other day, that I found incredibly prophetic. She said something that I hadn't heard in a really long time. We were just sitting around eating dinner, and she looked at me and she said, "Dad, the future is looking good." Now, I know that that sounds crazy, but here in the church, we believe that. We believe that if God is in control, the future is looking good. So as you go out into the world, I pray that regardless of what the headlines say, regardless of what's going on in this world, in an hour we'll be confirming 5 students in the faith. And I'm here to tell you, if you hear their faith stories, the future is looking good. As you depart into this world, I pray you will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.